We'll ask the help of the Lord as we come to His Word. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word open before us. We pray that as we study it together, that we will know the power and help of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Lord, teach us of Thyself, even here this evening. Speak to every heart. Lord, let none of us depart without having heard from heaven. Minister to our souls, we pray. And may Thy great name be glorified, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue our series of studies in the attributes of God, those great characteristics of the Lord whereby He is set forth in Scripture. There is a verse that's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it's verse 3, and I just want to pick these words out of the verse: the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. And as we think of the various attributes and perfections of God, this is one of them. And there are many scriptures that I could use as a proof text of the fact that God is faithful. In actual fact, there are some verses that state that, verses that actually say that God is faithful. And we're going to look at some of those verses tonight. If you turn in your Old Testament to the book of Deuteronomy and to the chapter 7, you have an Old Testament reference to this great attribute of God. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord, that is Jehovah thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." The faithful God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it's talking about temptation, trial, if you like, it says, "But God is faithful." The faithfulness of God is a wonderful attribute of His. Arthur W. Pink said, "Unfaithfulness is one of the most outstanding sins of these evil days. In the business world, a man's word is, with exceedingly rare exceptions, no longer his bond. In the social world, marital infidelity abounds on every hand, the sacred bonds of wedlock being broken with as little regard as the discarding of an old garment. In the ecclesiastical realm, thousands who have solemnly covenanted to preach the truth make no scruple to attack and deny it." And then he goes on, "Nor can reader or writer claim complete immunity from this fearful sin. In how many ways have we been unfaithful to Christ and to the light and privileges which God has entrusted to us? How refreshing then, how unspeakably blessed to lift our eyes above this scene of ruin and behold one who is faithful, faithful in all things, faithful at all times. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." We want to think about this particular attribute of God. There is one who is infinitely faithful. And the faithfulness of God is seen in a variety of ways. I want us to think about this and how that the faithfulness of God has been recorded over and over again in the Scriptures. As I say, there are many verses that we could use as proof texts of this particular doctrine. So many references to the fidelity, to the faithfulness of God, are found in Scripture. Not least in the book of Psalms, I might suggest. Let's look at a few verses there. In Psalm 36, verse 5, the psalmist says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." In Psalm 89 and verse 1, and again in verse 8, he says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Verse 8, "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" God is faithful. I always like to pick hymns, if I can, in our services that will dovetail with the message. We sang tonight the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." And those words are based upon the words of Lamentations. That book that was written by Jeremiah, which in so much of its content is sad and tragic, and speaking about the Lord giving over his people to judgment. Yet you have the man of God saying there in Lamentations chapter 3, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Chapter 3, verse 23, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Oh, the faithfulness of God. Now, in studying some of the attributes of God, we have noticed that a number of those attributes, in fact, all of those attributes, are also applied to Christ. When we thought of omniscience, the fact that God knows all things, we thought about omnipotence, the fact that God is able to do all things. We spoke of omnipresence, the fact that God is everywhere present at every point in space at one and the same time in his fullness. We said that all of those not only apply to the Father and to the Spirit, but to the second person of the Trinity, to the Son. And here's another great attribute which is applied also to our Lord Jesus Christ. We would expect that, would we not? He is the faithful God. Our Savior is the faithful Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. "Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." And we remember that the chapter divisions are man-made. And so we read on down into chapter 3 of Hebrews. And you see that it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Oh, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an attribute of which the Bible speaks in a number of places in relation to Christ. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 refers to him as the faithful witness. He speaks the truth. He always speaks the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the faithful witness. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that a faithful witness delivereth souls. And we are called as God's people to be faithful in witnessing the truth of God. Not to waver, not to turn aside, but to be a faithful witness. But infinitely greater is the one who is talked about here in Revelation 1 verse 5. He is the faithful witness. He is infinitely faithful. We also find in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, this description. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. We have a faithful Savior. When we think about the faithfulness of God, we can say that His Word is faithful. He's called the faithful witness. You witness with your lips through your words. And God's words are faithful. You look at God's Word, whether it be in relation to promises or threatenings. His words are faithful, and His words will not fall to the ground, but will most certainly be fulfilled. And it's good for us to think about that. That the Lord's promises are true and that they will be kept. God's not like other people. There are folks who make promises all the time and fail to keep them. The quote that I gave at the beginning from Arthur Pink is an illustration of that, or several illustrations there of that. In the social world, or in the business world, or in the ecclesiastical realm, there are people who make promises and fail to keep them. Their word is not faithful. But God's word is faithful. He keeps His word. Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. We live in days when people are all bent out of shape about what they're pleased to call, or used to call, global warming. That's all changed now. You'll notice there's been that subtle change. Hardly anybody talks about global warming anymore. They talk about climate change. Ever since I was a child, there's been climate change. It's called spring, summer, fall, and winter. And that's what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but believe me, the weather is cyclical. The weather goes in cycles. And here's the thing. Man-made climate change is a myth. It's a myth. Here's what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. While the earth remaineth, and the same Bible tells me that the earth will remain until God destroys it. That's what 2 Peter chapter 3 teaches us. The heavens and the earth, which are now, God will destroy with fire. No one else. But while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Seed time is the spring. Harvest is in the fall. And cold and heat. Those are the things that we experience here in Pennsylvania and indeed in New Jersey. Cold and heat. We've just had a pretty cold winter. And I can tell you right now, the people who said they wouldn't complain anymore about the hot days of summer, they're starting to murmur. I hear it. It's going to heat up next week. We're going to get into the 90s again. The dog days of summer, they're just round the corner. Cold and heat. And summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Just as sure as the sun came up this morning, it'll go down tonight, probably has already done so, and it'll come up again tomorrow. That may be raining. And you'll look up and say, where's the sun? Well, I can assure you, it's there. And if you were to take a flight that would go up above the clouds, you would see it. While the earth remaineth, these things will continue to be. Why? Because this is God's word. And God is faithful to His word. He keeps His word. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56 is another scripture I want us to think about. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. There hath not failed one word. That word failed is a Hebrew word that refers to that which falls to the ground. Not one of God's words of promise have fallen to the ground. Why? Because He's the faithful God. His word is faithful. And there are many scriptures that we could look at besides these, but there's one in Psalm 119, verse 138. Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. There's God's word. And we talk about God's words of promise being fulfilled and his words of threatening being fulfilled. Think about his words of threatening to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord said he would overturn, he would overthrow the cities of the plain. That's exactly what happened. God kept his word. God threatened to slay the firstborn in every home in Egypt. And what happened? On the night of the Passover, every one of the firstborn among the Egyptians was slain. The Lord threatened to destroy the city of Jericho. And it came to pass. Because his word is faithful. And when God says in the Bible, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God, he means it. When the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, he means it. God's word is faithful. And there are some times when we feel as Christians our own unfaithfulness, and we know that we have not been faithful to the Lord, quite the opposite. And sometimes instead of believing his word, we find ourselves full of unbelief. And yet, don't we read in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Thank God for the faithfulness of his word. God is faithful that promised, says Hebrews 10, verse 23. And you can certainly trust the word of God. You say, brother, the Lord gave me a promise. He hasn't kept it. I want to tell you, if God gave you a promise, he will keep it. He will keep it. Unanswered yet the prayers of many years. The hymn says, you shall have your desire sometime, somewhere. The promises of God are true because his word is faithful. We can also say concerning the Lord, he is faithful. This is an attribute of his because his works are faithful. We quoted Lamentations 3 verse 22. That's the verse from which we get the hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. Is it not true that the Lord's mercies, his compassions are new every morning? We get up every morning and there's bread, there's food for us to eat. We have clothing to put on. We have the comforts of home. And while some people have more than other people have, yet God is faithful. Faithful in his provisions for us. The Lord taught us to pray, give us this day, it literally means day by day, our daily bread. Now you can apply that also to your reading of the scripture. That's a secondary application. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Speak to us from your word. And the Lord will do that. He will feed your soul as you come to the Bible each and every day. But in a material sense, in a literal sense, in a very physical sense, it is true that God is faithful in giving us day by day our daily bread. He makes the sun to shine and he makes the rain to fall. His works of providence are faithfully carried on. The Lord is faithful. And in every respect we can say what the Old Testament minor prophet says, he faileth not. Oh, how faithful is the Lord. How faithful the Lord has been. Some of us can look back over many years. And we can testify to the faithfulness of the Lord to us since the day we were converted. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. There are times when he has tested us greatly. There are times when he has allowed us to see the blackness of our own hearts. But he has still been faithful. If I might quote Pink again. Here's what he said about God's word of promise. His word of promise is sure. In all his relations with his people, God is faithful. He may be safely relied upon. No one ever yet really trusted him in vain. We find this precious truth expressed almost everywhere in the scriptures. For his people need to know that faithfulness is an essential part of the divine character. This is the basis of our confidence in Him. But it is one thing to accept the faithfulness of God as a divine truth. It is quite another to act upon it. So here's the question. Are we resting upon His word? Because the Bible testifies to this truth that God is faithful. He's faithful in His word. He's faithful in His works. But do we trust Him? Do we exercise faith in Him? Are we able to say, Lord, I know not what Thou art doing, but I know that Thou art faithful, and therefore I can trust Thee. Even where I don't understand, even when it's dark, I can trust Thee and know that Thy way is perfect because Thou art a faithful God. God's faithfulness is a great attribute that's recorded in the Scriptures. And as we've been seeking to even expound already, the faithfulness of God has been revealed toward the saints. And we know it's not only true of ourselves, but God's people in all ages. I love history. I love to read church history. I love to read about the lives of godly men and women, missionaries, preachers. And oftentimes I come across this feature in their writings, the faithfulness of God to them. How that the Lord never failed them. How that the Lord never left them. And despite some of the greatest of trials, they could testify to the fact that the Lord was faithful. And men and women, we know that God is faithful toward the saints in reference to their salvation. The devil wants to tell you that the Lord has left you, or that the Lord is not going to bring you through unto eternal life. But I want you to know that God has kept His word to those who are saved. Whenever the Lord gave the promise, Matthew 11 verse 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, if you're a saved person tonight, the Lord has been as true as His word. You came with that burden of sin. You brought it to Him, and He removed it. He took it away. Like Bunyan's pilgrim, when you saw at that place somewhat ascending, one who suffered in your place upon the cross, that burden that was attached to your back rolled off your back and went away down the hill and out of sight, never to be seen anymore. God is faithful to His word. Many a time I've doubted my salvation. Many a time I've wondered if I was really the Lord's at all. And I would concur with those who would say, I doubt the man who never doubted. Because that's the devil's work. And this is part of the infirmity of our own flesh. That there's times, quite frankly, when we don't feel saved. Isn't that right? And we're just not sure. And we come back to God's own word. And I personally love this text, John 6:37. It is the word of God, it's the word of Christ. The first part of the text, we're in the realm of mystery. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He's talking about His elect. Those are described as all that the Father giveth me. But He says, all of those shall come to me. And that's the evidence that you're one of God's elect, is that you come to Christ. That's the evidence. If you're looking for evidence in some other way, I think you're looking in the wrong place. Are there marks of grace in the believer? Yes, there are. Are there evidences that a person is a child of God? Yes, there are. But I agree with Spurgeon when he said that those evidences and those marks are more to be seen by others than by yourself. Sometimes we, frankly, either think more of ourselves than we should, or we think less of ourselves than we should. But others can see. But I'm depending on God's word. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And here's the wonderful assurance. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And let that sink into your heart. him that cometh to me, I will, and the words simply mean under no circumstances. There's not a scenario that you can invent whereby those that come to Christ, he will cast out. He will not turn you away. He will not refuse you. As the hymn puts it, will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a lovely promise? And God is faithful to his word. We think again of a promise in Romans 10:13 in regard to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whatever way you slice that verse, it means the same thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's a call from the heart, that's a call of repentance, that's a call of faith, it's a call to Christ, but whosoever, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Now, is God going to tell you something more than that for you to rest upon, or is that enough? That's God's word. That's God's word. And God is as faithful as his word. He is faithful that promised. We've often had cause to plead that text, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is he? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Oh, thank God the Lord is faithful. And his faithfulness is revealed toward the saints in regard to their salvation. His faithfulness is revealed toward them in regard to their preservation. You know, the Lord preserves us. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son. In the previous verse to that, the promise was made that God would confirm unto the end his own people. The Apostle Paul's confidence in the absolute security of believers was founded not upon the strength of their resolutions or their ability themselves to persevere, but on the veracity, on the truthfulness, on the faithfulness of him who cannot lie. He is faithful. He is faithful. He's not going to allow any of his own to perish. You may have heard me tell the story of an old lady who was visited by an Arminian preacher. He was one of those guys. He was very tenacious. And he believed that you could lose your salvation. And he said to this old lady, now are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? She said, I'm sure. I'm going to heaven. Because the Bible tells me that I'm in the hand of Christ. John chapter 10. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the Arminian preacher said to the old lady, yes, but if you've sinned against the Lord, you could slip through the Lord's fingers. And she looked at him, she said, don't be foolish. I am one of his fingers. Because I'm part of the body of Christ. The Lord will not amputate any of the members of his body. He is faithful that promised. Thank God for that. He's also faithful, we might say, toward the saints in regard to their affliction. Psalm 119:75 says this, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Isn't that interesting? The psalmist didn't say the Lord has afflicted me because he's angry with me. The Lord has afflicted me because he's not pleased with something that I've done. The Lord has afflicted me because he's punishing me for something that either I have committed or somebody before me has committed. No, thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Arthur Pink said, trouble and affliction are not only consistent with God's love pledged in the everlasting covenant, but they are parts of the administration of the same. You see, affliction comes upon the saints as part and parcel of their relationship with God. In Psalm 89, the Lord said, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. God is our great parent. He is our great disciplinarian. You, as parents, you think of the fact that you've had to correct your children. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks of that. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And God is one who corrects us. And he says there in that very context, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you read on in that chapter, this is evidence of your sonship. And it's actually evidence of the contrary. If you're not disciplined by the Lord, you're not one of his. So let's get this right. When there's affliction that is sent upon the Lord's people, it is in faithfulness that it is done. The very portion that says, I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes, goes on to say, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Psalm 89, 32 and 33. Chastening is not only reconcilable with the loving kindness of God, it's the very effect and expression of it. Whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. You find that also in the words of Christ in the book of Revelation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Isn't that a comfort in our time of trouble? And it would quieten the minds of a lot of God's people if they would just remember that God's covenant love binds them to lay upon them correction at times. Afflictions are necessary for us. The faithfulness of God then is to be seen not only in the salvation, in the preservation, and in the affliction of the saints, but in their glorification as well. He's going to bring them to heaven because he's a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. And in the text that we started with, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that great text that the Lord used in my own life to call me into the ministry, he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? What he has just said in the previous verse. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, unto perfection. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oh, he will bring us to glory. The hymn writer said, and thus shall I find, for such is his mind, he'll not be in glory and leave me behind. Oh, he will bring us to glory. God is constant to himself and to his own purposes of grace. If you look at Romans 8 verse 30, it brings you from eternity to eternity. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, the faithfulness of God. He's going to bring us at last to heaven, saved by the precious blood. 1 Peter 4 verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. This is a wonderful attribute. And in a world of unfaithful people, in a world of unfaithfulness, in whatever aspect you care to mention. Thank God there's one who abides faithful and who cannot and will not deny himself. May the Lord keep our eyes upon him. Amen.